Timothy Ray Brown. I am the first and only person in the world so far, unfortunately, that is cured of HIV. I was diagnosed in 1995. Before that point, I was tested the last time in 1991 and didn't get tested between 91 and 95 at all, basically because I had a partner who didn't want me to get tested because he didn't want to know if he was HIV positive or not. I got tested because a friend of mine with whom I had unsafe sex had tested positive and suggested that I also get tested. So I got tested, and that was in Berlin. I was living in Berlin, Germany at that point, and I got tested at a tropical institute there, and I tested positive. I didn't know if I'd test negative or positive, but I kind of had thought that it could be positive, and it was. And then they also tested my CD4 count. There wasn't viral load testing yet in 1995. I don't think that came about until like 98. And my CD4 count was like 250, and so the doctor assumed that I had probably been infected much earlier than 95. And probably like 2 or 3 years before. I don't think that was the case, but I didn't argue. She thought that I should definitely start on medication immediately because of my low CD4 count. The only medication available at the time in 1995 was AZT. Was told it's not AZT, it's AZT, and that I, I had heard that people actually died from taking the medication, and so I was very afraid to take it, but she said, I'm going to give you a very low dose of AZT, and if you have any adverse effects, I'll lower the dosage even more. And so I started on that. And luckily, in 1996, protease inhibitors came onto the market, and I was able to take those. I think I started out with Zeret, and that had problems with facial wasting and stuff like that. Some people got buffalo humps on the back of their neck, I had just a facial wasting. Then I was able to take other medication, was able to go off of Zeret, and took things like Crixivan. I can't remember exactly what medications I took, because since I'm now cured of HIV, I've kind of forgotten that part of my life. I was very open about my status to my work colleagues. I worked in a cafe, and I told my bosses and the manager and the owners and also my work colleagues. I didn't go around the cafe announcing to guests, hey, I'm HIV positive, do you want a coffee? So I was very open about it, I didn't really feel that much stigma in Berlin. Berlin is a very open place. It's probably the most open part of Germany. It was a place where people that didn't want to do military service moved to because they didn't have to if they lived if they had citizenship in Berlin, a residency in Berlin, and so yeah, it was a very open-minded place, and And so I lived pretty much the next 11 years taking medication regularly. I started out with something like 40 pills, but by the end that kind of was reduced down to about six or seven a day. And then in 2006, I took a trip to the United States to go to a wedding. And I got there and felt awful. I felt very tired, and so I went back to after the wedding, I went back to Berlin, and I rode my bike to work almost every day. It was about a 15-kilometer ride to work, and it took longer than usual. And then at lunchtime, I rode my bike to go to a restaurant to eat lunch, and had to stop halfway. It was about a kilometer, and I had to get off my bike, and I called my partner, my boyfriend at the time, and I said, "Could you try to get an appointment for me? I don't feel well. Get an appointment with my HEB doctor." And so he called my HEB doctor and found out that he could not get an appointment for me for the next day, and that I really needed one the next day. So he called his doctor, and I was able to see his doctor on the next day. And so I went in, and they found out that the problem was, or that the initial problem was that I had a very low red blood cell count. And so they gave me red blood cell infusions, or transfusions, and so they would test the blood afterwards, and because I had just gotten the transfusions, the red blood cell count went up, and then the next day I went in, and they had gone down again. So they kept ordering more red blood cells, and that went on for like 4 days, and then by the fourth day, the doctor said, "We're not really sure what your problem is, what your health problem is. I think you need to see an oncologist." So I went to the oncologist, and the oncologist said, "I don't think you have anything serious. My gut feeling is you don't have anything serious. However, I'm going to do a bone marrow biopsy." And so we did that, and it's probably the most painful thing I've ever been through. They drill into your back underneath your spine and suck out bone marrow out of your back. And they numb the area for the drilling, but then the pressure of having the bone marrow sucked out really hurts. And so then he sent that, or no, he did a test on it, and that was on a Friday. And the next Monday, I expected to go back and continue getting red blood cells. And he said, "I have kind of bad news. I have really bad news for you. You have acute myeloid leukemia." And that was a big shock. It was like my second death sentence, because finding out I had HIV in 1995 was a death sentence, because people often didn't live past a couple years after that. And then now I had leukemia, and that was also a very, very potential death threat. So I said, "Okay, what do we do?" And he said, "You need to go get chemotherapy at a hospital." And so I said, "Which hospital do you think I should go to?" And I explained that my partner, who had HIV and hepatitis B, had been in hospital in Halle, which is about 100 kilometers south of Berlin, and he overheard a nurse saying, "Be careful of him, he has AIDS," like really loud. And so I didn't want an experience like that. And so I'm like, okay, I want a place that they're not going to judge me because I have HEB. And so he decided on this hospital, which was part of the Berlin University Hospital System. It's called Charité Benjamin Franklin campus. And so he called up and he got this doctor, the head doctor of that ward at that time, Dr. Gerd Hüther, on the phone. And I didn't realize that at that point that Dr. Hüther would become a very important part in my life later. Dr. Hüther said, "Yeah, send him in." So I had found out that I had leukemia one day, and the next day I was in the hospital getting tubes shoved into my neck, which ran down to my heart, and was getting chemotherapy, and so the first round of chemo went fairly well. During the second round, I got a fungal infection, like a fungal lung infection. So that didn't go quite as well. But during the third round of chemo, I got a sepsis infection, and had to be put into an induced coma. And then I got out of that, I found out that I was supposed to have four rounds of chemo. So each round of chemo took about a week, and then you'd go home and recover from that, and then go back for the next round. After I came out of the coma, I talked to Dr. Hüther and other doctors on the ward, and they told me that I should go on vacation. And that they wouldn't continue with the chemo treatment. At that point, my leukemia was in remission, so I was hoping that it wouldn't come back at all. However, before the third round of chemo, Dr. Hüther had sent my blood to the German Red Cross to find out if they could find a donor for me for a stem cell transplant. A bone marrow stem cell transplant, at the end of that process, they had a very high number of matches for me. I'm not a scientist. The tissue has to match, which is called HLA match, there were 267 of them, and that's a very high number because some people don't have any. In fact, a friend of mine was in the hospital at the same time, and he didn't have any so his mother had to donate stem cells to him, unfortunately he didn't make it. Yeah, so I was very lucky to have 267 possible matches. But my leukemia was in remission at that point, after the 2.5 rounds of chemo. So I took a trip down to Genoa to visit a friend there, Genoa, Italy, and had a great time. Was able to forget about my recent past and could basically enjoy myself. And then I was getting pressure from the transplant professor at the hospital to get the transplant. By that point, they had found Dr. Hüther had this revolutionary idea. He had paid attention in med school and had heard about something called CCR5 Delta 32, which is an emission of the CCR5 protein. That it's a protein that sits on the CD4 cell and acts as a doorway for the virus to get in, the HAV virus to get into the CD4 cell, therefore allowing the virus to spread and act reproduce and causing HAV in the body. They found a donor, and I talked to friends and family, and actually went to visit a transplant professor in Dresden. Dresden is again about an hour south of Berlin in another direction. I think southeast of Berlin, and asked him what he thought, and I had basically made up my mind that I wasn't going to get the transplant unless the leukemia came back. So I went back and told the doctors that I had basically decided against doing that, and of course that kind of ruined their experiment on me. In fact, the whole time I kind of felt like a lab rat. I guess a lab mouser in the current HIV studies, or lab rhesus monkey. I said no. But then that was probably September of 2006, and then at the end of the year, I got another bone marrow biopsy, and the leukemia had come back. And so at that point, it became clear that I had to get the transplant in order to survive. So I got the transplant in February 7th of 2007. And so that's my new birthday. I quit taking my HIV meds, my ARBs, on that day. The protocol, it said that I was supposed to continue to take my HIV meds. However, my partner, the same partner I was talking about before, he said, I don't want you to take them, because he thought that they could have a negative effect on the reproduction of the new stem cells. I have since found out, I've been told that, and I was told that again today, that is not true. I was allowed to, Dr. Uter rewrote the protocol, and it said that I did not have to take my HIV meds. So I quit taking my HIV meds that day and have not taken any since, with the exception of PrEP. I'll get to that. I got that transplant. I recovered quickly. Generally, they say 13 days. I was pretty much okay by the 11th day. So I was able to leave the hospital on the 11th or 12th day. And I was like joyous to be able to leave the hospital, because I hate the hospital. I hate hospitals. So that was done, and then I went to a rehab center in near Dresden, and enjoyed myself there, and was able to kind of recover and forget about things. The third month, they didn't tell me this, but I found this out later, that by the third month, what happened with my viral load is that it went way up, and then it dropped down rapidly, and then it was undetectable without medication. And so that kind of indicated that the transplant had worked, and that I had 100% chemorrhism, that meant that the new stem cells had taken over, had replaced the old stem cells, and that I had a new immune system. So then after I got done and at the rehab center, a couple months later, I decided I wanted to go back to work. I had been working as a translator from German to English at that point, and I was working in the office. And so I went back to work in the office, and then I decided I wanted to go back to the gym. And so I started going to the gym pretty much every day. And probably too much, because I kind of expressed to my boyfriend that I had a crush on somebody. And it was on a straight guy, hetero guy, who also went to the gym pretty much every day. And anyway, my boyfriend's niece wanted to go with me to the United States for Christmas, and so before that, I ended up getting through sexual contact the norovirus and Shigella all at once, and then I was having horrible diarrhea, and found out I had the Shigella and got treatment for that. I don't think there is treatment for the norovirus, and that basically has to work itself out, and with the immune system. And so I got to the United States, and my mother insisted that we go up. She lived in Seattle, and it's in the northwestern United States, in Washington State, and she wanted to go up. We wanted to go up to Vancouver, British Columbia. And I told my mother that I didn't feel well and I didn't want to go to Vancouver. And she's like, "Well, I paid for the trip, and I paid for a hotel, and I think that we should go." And so we went. We did go up there, and then we went up to Vancouver, and then came back to Seattle. Went back to Seattle, and then we were supposed to go over to the Boise, Idaho area. So about 800 kilometers from Seattle is Boise, and Boise, Idaho. And so I think we flew over there, and and it was like right around Christmas, and I think I actually was okay. I did okay for Christmas, and then on that evening, I started feeling like I had pneumonia. I had had pneumonia before, so I kind of knew what it felt like. So I told my mother I needed to go to see a doctor. So I went to a doctor the next day, and the doctor said, "Yes, you do in fact have pneumonia. I'm going to treat you for that, and give you antibiotics for that. But I did notice that you had a very low blood platelet count." So I thought, "Oh crap, it's happened again." So I felt better after taking the antibiotics, and went back to Berlin, after going back to Seattle, of course, and went into the outpatient clinic of the hospital, and got another bone marrow biopsy, and in fact, I did have leukemia again. So the leukemia come back. So they set up a second transplant from the same donor. The one with the CCR5 delta 32 mutation, and he's homozygous, so meaning that both of his parents were immune to HIV. So I got that transplant, and the recovery from that didn't go so well. At one point I became delirious. At one point my blood platelet count was really low. It was like down to 5 or something like that. And they started giving me platelets, and then the head of that particular head of the department, or the head of the ward, decided she wasn't going to give me any more platelets because she thought that my body was rejecting them. So they did a test on that and determined that I was not rejected. My body was not rejecting them, but because she wasn't giving me any, I basically didn't have any more than 5 for several days. And my eyesight kind of went bad. I became partially blind, and most of it's returned, but I still have very poor eyesight. That could be old age, but I'm not really sure. I'm 51. Then I, another thing is that they told me that I might have, my partner and I had a business where we basically did something like Airbnb. We rented out a room in our apartment. It was actually a rented apartment, and then I had bought three studio condos, one-room condos. And is studio and one room the same thing in South Africa? Yeah. I was basically, my partner was doing all the work and I was doing the booking, and I was using my computer to do that. And I was sitting there on my computer and a friend was there to help, and I just kind of blanked out and started mumbling. And so they called in a doctor and into the hospital room, and the head doctor decided that I might have leukemia in my brain. So they decided to give me a brain biopsy, or have a brain biopsy done. And they tested for leukemia, and of course they also tested for HIV. I didn't have either in my brain, which is actually very important, because HIV, one of the reservoirs that HIV hides is in the brain. And so it's actually a very big thing that I did not have HIV in my brain. They haven't been able to find HIV anywhere in my body. I've done countless biopsies, gut biopsies, and lymph node biopsies, and they have not found HIV anywhere in my body. So anyway, I was able, after they sewed me back up, the surgeon sewed me back up, I became more delirious. And so they ordered an emergency surgery and found that I had an air bubble in my brain. And so they removed the air bubble. However, that air bubble has probably caused balance problems, which I still have to this day. So everything is going well for me. I'm feeling well. I don't get sick very often. I've had a cold, but everyone gets colds. other than that, I'm feeling very well. And I've been doing, I had done a lot of physical therapy on trying to improve my balance, and that has really helped. And I also do yoga like 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah, I guess I'm done.